scripture that I'm going to focus on is Ephesians. You've just heard it read. And the question I'm pondering this morning is, what are the principles Christians need to understand in order to walk as children in the light, in God's light? And I've come up with five principles. There are more, but these are the five that I want to focus on this morning. Number one, in order to walk in the light, we must no longer walk in the futility of our thinking. Number two, in order to remain in the light, we must remain in Christ. Number three, to walk in the light, we must actively put off our old, corrupted nature. Number four, we must eliminate unwholesome talk. And number five, forgiveness is not optional. So those are the principles from the Word this morning we'd like to look at. If you have your Bibles, or if you have your cell phone, or any other device you want to look at, let's look at verses 17 through 19. And I'm reading from the New International Version. And it's interesting to hear the ESV that was just heard, English Standard Version, and kind of compare it to the New International Version and some of the words that are similar and some that are slightly different. So listen carefully. You may hear something that adds to the reading this morning. Verses 17, actually, I'll probably read through verse 20. Paul says this, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of your thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality as they indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way." Here Paul is talking to the Christian church in Ephesus about the way Gentiles, non-Christians, live in the futility of their thinking. But it's clear he's writing to Christians, exhorting us to understand that we can slip back into patterns of sin. Paul begins with a powerful directive by using the strong verb insist. Now, I looked around and I can only see the word insist used about 12 times in the New Testament. And in those 12, there's only about 5 times where it's used as a directive. And this is one of them. I think 3 of them are used by Paul, 2 of them in Ephesians. So he says insist. He's using the word this way. Sit up straight and listen. That's my teacher voice. I use it when I want to make sure that I have my students' attention. Paul's delivery is demanding and forceful, not accepting refusal, because he knows our lower nature can pull us away from walking in the light. He knows how easily we Christians slip into sin. And so, with clear strength, he says, "I insist on this in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of your thinking." In other words, we must walk in the light. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just pray as these words that you've so many thoughts have rattled through my head. This could have been a 2-hour sermon, but you've narrowed it down to these 5 principles. I pray that there would be clarity for each person that needs it here. I pray that we would hear from you this morning, be touched, changed in a way that understands how you want us to live, to put off our old self, to be renewed in our thinking, to love, care for, forgive one another, and walk in the light in the way that honors you. Give us ears to hear what you want us to hear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Principle number one, in order to walk in the light, we must no longer walk in the futility of our thinking. So 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light, Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from sin, all sin. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And if we say we have no sin, if we say we have no sin, well, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. We are exhorted to walk in the light as Jesus walked in the light so that our futile, fruitless thinking will not have mastery over us. So then the question is, how do we do this? How do we overcome our sinful nature? I can hear you thinking the answer. We don't. The good news is Christ does. God revealed himself in Christ. You know this. He came in the flesh to set us free from darkness, to draw us into the light where we can dwell with him, where he will strengthen us to live a fruitful, non-futile life. Without Jesus in our daily thinking, in our daily meditation, our ways will be darkened to his understanding. We, verse 18, we are darkened in our understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that caused our hearts to be hardened towards God. That's not a direct quote. That's me interpreting the scripture. We are darkened in our understanding and separated from the life of God. He's speaking to the Gentiles and exhorting us this way. Because of the ignorance that has caused our hearts to be hardened towards God. Our hearts can become cold and distant, and we can become ignorant in our mind. And the directives of end to the directives of Christ. And when this happens, we, Christians, begin to slide back into futility. And futility produces nothing useful. Paul knew this, and that's why he insisted in the Lord that we must take action to no longer follow our self-directed ways. We must learn to follow God's ways. If we don't take these words of Scripture to heart as Christians, we will find ourselves revisiting the old sinful ways. If we don't take these words of Scripture to heart, we will find ourselves separating ourselves from God's best. Remember this principle. In order to walk in the light, we must no longer walk in the futility of our thinking. The second principle, in order to walk in God's light, in order for God's light to fill us, this is what it is, and flow through us, we must remain in Christ. Okay. Jesus has connected us to himself. Scripture says he's the vine. We are the branches. If we remain in him, we will bear much fruit. And apart from him, we won't bear anything. What are the fruits of the Spirit? So you know them. Audience participation. Call out one of the fruits of the Spirit for me. There's a whole bunch. Yeah. Love, patience, joy, goodness. All of these are the fruits of the Spirit. And the kind, they will live and flow through us, renewing our thinking, changing our corrupt patterns, so that we do not, verse 19, lose sensitivity to God's ways and begin to indulge once again in our impure patterns, which will pull us away from God's best plan for our lives. So let's remind ourselves often how we came to know Christ. When I preached, I don't remember, but I asked you to think about the moment when you first accepted Christ. Think about that again. So let's remind ourselves often of that precious transforming moment when his loving grace filled us and made us whole. Verse 20. This is how we came to know Christ and how you and I will grow and thrive in Christ by reconnecting and staying connected. Verse 20. That's verse 20. There's a story about a grandpa who had a workshop, and his grandchild came up and sat on his knee and said, "Grandpa, you know, I want to get rid of sin. I just don't know how. I want to do the right thing, but sometimes I just don't. How can I do this?" And he looked around the shop and he said, "Oh, get me that waste paper basket in the corner." And there's a wicker waste paper basket in the corner. And he had her dump it into a larger garbage can, and he said, "Is it clean?" She said, "No. You dumped out all the garbage, but it's still not clean." And she said, but it's still not clean. So he said, put it under the sink in the big shop. You know those big, all you guys who have big shops with your big sinks. I don't, I'd love to. You put it in there, and all the water started to flow through the wicker as it crossed. And out of it flowed the dirt and the filth. And it kept flowing out until the basket was clean. And he explained to his grandchild, that's the process. We can't just dump out things. Christ has to flow into us and flow out of us. That's the only way. And Christ will flow into us only when we're connected to him, and he will flow out of us only when we're connected to him. Filth keeps coming. We need Christ to keep continuously helping us to get rid of it. I'll say it again. These very fruits of the Spirit of our living God will flow in and through you, renewing your thinking, changing you, and making you sensitive to God's ways in order to truly discover his best. Let's remind ourselves often how we came to know Christ. Let's remind ourselves often of that moment. The presence of Christ will grow in you and through you when you meditate and spend time on God's word and in prayer. These things will disrupt and displace the filth in our living, cleansing us and filling us with fruitful living that will flow out of us freely as we connect to Christ. Be careful. Paul insists, don't take a day off. Yeah, this is the plan from our loving God, that we remain in Christ. So his light will flow through us and overflow out of us. He knew we couldn't save ourselves. Jesus died for the world to cover the sins of all those who would believe and call on his name. He did this for us while we were stuck in darkness, in the darkness of our rebellion and our self-centered futility. So again, second principle, in order for God's light to fill us and flow through us, we must remain in Christ. The third principle, to walk in the light, we must actively put off our old corrupt nature. Let's look at verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Why? Verse 23 and 24. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. God waits for us to come to him so he, through the comfort of his presence and the truth of his living word, will renew his holiness in us so we can live in this sinful world in him. That's the only way. The moment we think we have it without him is the moment we slip back into our old sinful dark patterns. Does it make sense? Yeah? Does it make sense to anybody? A little bit? Okay. Let's continue. Because we don't want to fool ourselves here. If we live a day without spending time connected to Christ, we live a day drifting away from Christ. Christ did everything he did to show us he is God. Every miracle, every moment of righteous anger, even the depth of humility and forgiveness, every word he spoke, these were all done out of God's love for us. He left his home in heaven, where he was with God and was God. He came to earth, God with us. He lived and died to reveal God's one and only salvation plan. He rose conquering death once and for all, present and future, for all who, by faith, through grace, confess that he is Lord. That's us. After his resurrection and before ascending back into heaven to be with God, Jesus explained his plan and how it was to work. He would send us the gift of the Holy Spirit from on high to be with us and live in us. So we should no longer live in the futility of our thinking without the daily guidance of Christ. He was here, went to be with heaven. He sent us his Holy Spirit so he would be with us. We are without excuse. The Holy Spirit would be our light. And that's an amazing plan. Amen? Yeah. God is good. He did not miss a single thing in his promised plan to love and comfort and teach and guide and direct us. Jesus is the light of the world. He sent his Holy Spirit to illuminate his truth in our daily lives. So I said before, I'm a teacher. I love my students, all 32 of them. Yeah, it's a lot. Each one is precious. Each one is individual. There's no two the same. All kinds of different situations. Broken homes. Some are living just with mom. Some are living just with dad. Some have wonderful, secure homes. Some are in foster care. Some are adopted. This is all in my class. Yeah. They trust me because I've earned their trust over the last few months. And I think the last one or two is there. It takes a long time. When I'm with my students, I can speak words of life to them. I can hug them and dry their tears. I can give them perspective. I can intervene quickly and help them sort through their things. They're 10 years old. I can teach them and stand by them and ask them to forgive one another. I can pray with them and share scripture, but I can't be with them every second of every day. Only God can. I can't be with them when they're at home, in difficult times or lonely times. Can't be with them on the bus if they're being bullied. One little boy came this week, and he's probably the one that took the longest to build a relationship with. He often comes up, and just in the morning he'll come, and he stands by me, and I'll put my arm around his shoulder. And I know right away if he had a good morning or not. He came to me, it's his birthday this week, he said, I just want to have a normal day when I asked him. What do you want today? I just want to have a normal day. Another child in my class just lost her dad. She has 8 siblings. Life is tough. It's hard. And as their teacher, I wish I could be there all the time, but I can't. And so I turn them to God as I turn each one of you to God. Yet, because he calls you and I to be part of his plan and to share his love to the hurting world. So the tricky thing here is God is light. He's the one who could be everywhere all the time. He's the only one that can change hearts. But he calls us to action. He asks us to be part of shining this light from him through our daily lives. How do we do this? We all do it in different ways. We all do it with different people in different settings, but God has called us to be part of his body, loving and caring for one another. So we share lunch, we listen, put aside our agenda, we take time to put off our old desires. I blew it this week with this one little guy. He came in and I was busy and I had things to do and I was a little bit, I got to get this done, so I'm ready. I needed that last 2 minutes just when the kids are, I always greet them at the door. So he came in. Karen knows who I'm talking about because Karen is my worker helper. We share the classroom together. So he came in and he went off and I didn't recognize his face. I didn't take time to see his face. And of course what happened is he went off and the result was not good because he took it out on other people. We need to go to God. No, I'm not God. My wife said to me this morning, be careful. Don't let them think you're saying you're God. This is not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. I'm their teacher. But God is our teacher, and he's so much bigger and greater than us. When we don't go to God and we don't spend time in his presence, we go into the world carrying whatever we're carrying. We don't release it to him. You get it, right? Okay. So, we have a God whose love is deeper and wider and higher and richer and fuller than we can ever fathom. Principle number 4. So, I need to put the example. There's putting off. I was putting my busyness in front of what God is calling me to do. We need to put off the old, whatever our old ways are, thinking that our ways are more important than loving others. Principle number 4. We must eliminate unwholesome talk. Does anybody have a tough time with this one? It says in verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Oof. Again, when we walk closely with the Almighty God, we're no longer immersing ourselves in our sinful ways the way we used to. We are bickering less, gossiping less, slandering less, comforting one another more often, praying for one another more often, cherishing one another more often. Watching what we say and how we say it is loving the body. Galatians 5:14 and 15 say, 14 says, love one another. 15 says, if we keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be devoured by each other. Unwholesome talk tears apart. Wholesome talk brings health to the bones of the body. James warns us all about the trouble the tongue causes. Jesus said in Matthew 15, the things that come out of a person's mouth come out of their heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for everything you do flows from it. Walking in the light means watching what we say, who we say it to, and how we say it. When we're connected to Christ and we examine our attitudes before Him, His Holy Spirit reveals in us what we need to displace from our old nature. Unwholesome talk causes dissension, so we must get rid of it. Principle number four, we must eliminate... Oh, that was principle number four. Principle number five, forgiveness is not optional. Okay, verse 32. Again, this is what I got from it. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other as Christ forgave you. So, Jesus said in Matthew 6:15, if we don't forgive others their sins, you know the second part, don't you? Yep, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins. All right, ready? We'll hear these again. These are the five principles I'd like you to think about this week. Read this scripture. Come back and say, you know what? You got it wrong. It'd be easier for me. Or come back and say, you know, this is what I was thinking about what you said. Here are the five principles. In order to walk in the light, we must no longer walk in the futility of our thinking. Number one. Number two, in order to remain in the light, we must remain connected, remain in Christ. To walk in the light, we must actively, it's an action, put off our old corrupted nature. It doesn't go away. It'd be nice if it did, right? It'd be nice if it did. It doesn't go away. We must actively put off. Christ will reveal to us what we need to put off. We must actively do it. We must eliminate unwholesome talk. Forgiveness, number five, is not optional. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, as we follow these principles, or this is what I think it says, as we follow these principles by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit in the daily meditation on His Word, loving God first and then loving others, we will become imitators of Christ Jesus. And we will listen as Christians